You don't prepare in a battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in the ministry to compete, you are in the ministry to work. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a good soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do ministry well. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your love. Be exalted in the name of Jesus. We ask that revelation knowledge is made available. There is illumination. We are enlightened. We are helped, strengthened to understand your decrees and your injunctions to us. As ministers, we will not run aimlessly in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The power of training in ministry. The power of training in ministry. Or you can title this session, The Power of Ministerial Training. The power of ministerial training. I'd like to pick a text quickly from the book of Titus. Let's start the reading from Titus chapter number 2, from verse 1. Titus 2, verse 1. Then we go into other scriptures from there. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted too much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home and kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Verse 6, Titus 2, verse 6. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything, setting them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity and seriousness and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, whilst we cannot rule out the fact that one of the major requirements in ministry to have a ministry that attracts people is the anointing. The anointing is a very powerful commodity that the minister cannot do without. The anointing helps you to be a blessing. For instance, in the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter number 10, verse 38, the Bible said how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with what power. And they went about doing good. So the anointing is the release of the Spirit of God upon a man, all right, the anointing can be either within or upon. When the anointing is within, we are talking about the strength of development of your spirit man. And the anointing upon is the gift that God releases upon you to profit with, to do ministry with, to succeed with. Hallelujah. And whilst the anointing is so important to carry out God's work, what will sustain the minister? What will keep the minister unspotted and help him to finish well is not just the anointing, but the degree to which the minister is trained in discipline. When a man is anointed and is not trained, his ministry will bear annoyance. When a man is anointed and is not trained, his ministry will not just heal people, his ministry will destroy people. His ministry will hurt people. I have seen cases, clear cases, of ministers of God whose lives are proven outrightly that the jab of slander that the enemy is trying to throw into the church through various media outlets or medium is a welcomed opinion, in the sense that they live their life wrongly to prove that those men are right about their insinuations about ministers of God. So, the moment a man has noticed that the hand of God is upon him for an assignment, it is important that the man will subject himself to training. The heir of the house, as long as he is a child, differeth him nothing from a servant. The Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes that woe to the land when your king is a child and your princes sit to eat early in the morning. Meaning that the anointing of God comes upon a man is a fantastic thing. But the man should be groomed. The man should be taught. The man should be discipled. The man should be trained to the point where the man can successfully wield this holy release of God. The power of God is a sacred thing. The power of God is a very mighty thing. It commands influence upon a man that is wielding it. And when the man wielding such level of grace is not trained, he will abuse the influence and bet wrong things in the body of Christ. So, it is the will of God that we will emulate Christ, and that the men we will trust with the work that God has placed in our hands are men that has been passed through the rigor of training. Now, before we major in the book of Titus that we have read, I'd like to show quickly a scripture that will bring us closer, to some extent, to the kind of life that Jesus lived. And we will see how that it is not just about the anointing, and it is also about what a man has learned and the training that will sustain the man. If you look at the book of Isaiah chapter number 11 from verse 1, I start from verse 1 to 5. Isaiah chapter number 11 from verse 1 to 5. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness will he judge the needy. With justice will he give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the wicked with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips will he slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, faithfulness the sash around his waist. Righteousness will be his belt. Righteousness can be a gift that God confers on us as one of the benefits of redemption. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. Now, the new man carries a divine nature, and through that nature, he is the righteousness of God. But the righteousness that is being talked about here is the kind of righteousness whereby the Bible describes that he that doeth right is righteous. Now, no man does right things because it is a gift for him to do them. Every man learn to do right things when they are either convenient or not convenient. But the Bible went on to say, and faithfulness will be the search around his waist. Faithfulness is learned. It is cultivated. And that's why in the book of Galatians 5, from verse 22 to 24, and one of the fruit of the Spirit mentioned is faithfulness. There are many things you will learn as you go through training in ministry. Now, ministerial training can be in two folds. Ministerial training can be in two folds. Number one, doctrinal training. And when we talk about doctrinal training, we are talking about the training of a man to become sound in the word of righteousness. The process of building a man in soundness, which includes Bible school training, where different curriculums are made available to the man that God will call. No one is too anointed to be trained. Those who think they are too anointed to be trained will end up in disgrace. So, doctrinal training. The second part of training that exists in ministry is practical training. And this will only come through learning, through followership, through service. Now, a man who has learned the letters, who has learned the doctrine, will ultimately also need to learn the practicals. The place of service. In the place of serving, there are many things you will learn that will not be taught to you while you are learning the Torah, while you are learning the doctrine. Is that clear? Good. So, most times, some people, having learned the doctrinal aspect of ministry, they jump out in the assumption that they know how to do all that they have to do. You know, I was speaking recently to a young man who is a minister, and he has read several books about doctrine, several books about doctrinal approach to ministry, homiletics, pneumatology, and several books. So he organized a meeting, and where he was expecting many people. Having spent money on the meeting, I just kept quiet. But the day of the meeting, the Lord just laid in my heart. He said, reach out to him and then pray with him. So I did. So after the meeting, I requested for a report of the meeting, how the meeting went. Now, at the end of the day, I found out that the first day of the meeting, no one showed up at all. The second day, the only person that showed up was a young man he went with. Okay, and that's where practical separate men of theory. For a man who have been given to experience, he will understand the right questions to ask. Apart from the right questions to ask, the right approach to ministry. As you serve, you will know what works and what doesn't work. When a man doesn't have a heart of service, and he claims to have been called to do something powerful in ministry, the calling may be powerful, but the execution will be very weak. Now, we are not denying the fact that the call upon a man is not powerful, but I'm saying that without complete training, the execution of the calling will be extremely weak. So, in the place of being trained, we learn what works and what doesn't work. You learn what to do and what not to do in ministry. It is a dangerous thing to assume you are called and you have never served anywhere, only to jump out to start doing things. You will destroy more than you are building. Now, faithfulness is learned in the place of service. I want to say that again. Faithfulness is learned in the place of service. It is required of a steward that he is faithful in all things. Faithfulness is learned. In the place of stewardship, you learn how to be faithful. Let me give you an instance. I remember while I was functioning or serving as a pastor in another church, and several times I will have to go and minister during weekly activities, whether convenient or not, whether I feel like going to church or not, whether I feel fine in my health or not. As long as there is service, I have to be there. And sometimes probabilities were high then that I ended up being the only one in service, and I still had to preach to myself or take the tambourine, ring around the church, pray in tongues, and then after the service, I take a record of the service, document everything, and then leave. Why? In that place of service, faithfulness becomes what you learn. If you have never been to an institution that compels you to give your best, when you assume that God is calling you to ministry, you will also not give your best. Look at the parable of the talent. Jesus gave a parable of the talent. One was given five, and then one was given two, another was given one, and they were given according to what their capacity could handle. And the one that was given, what was he called now? One took the one that was given to him and buried it and said, "My master is a wicked man who is trying to reap where he has not sown." For people who refuse to serve under anybody, this is the same mindset they have. Alright, it is a mindset of wickedness. They think that when they serve under people, they are doing it for the people. And let me say this to you. If you have the privilege of serving anywhere, you are doing it for yourself. Is that very clear? Good. If a student sits in class, and while the teacher is teaching the student how to do many things, and the student, the student decides not to pay attention because the student thinks that the teacher is teaching him or her for the salary. By the time those aspects of the teaching is needed in the student life, the student will only discover that he has not learned enough, true or not true. Yes. When a man faithfully serves, God rewards the man. When a man is faithful in little, he will be worthy to receive much more. Now, if you look at the book of 1 Samuel, we are not going to go there because of time. You can write it down, chapter number 16. When Samuel walked to the house of Jesse to select a king. If you look at all the sons of Jesse, one major requirement, one major issue, one thing you will see was that the day the king was to be made, they were all at home. From the first to the last. They were not busy around anything. So periodically when there is a battle, they go for it. But the day God came to select a king, they were all what? Where? At home. And God sent for the one who is in the bush, serving. Let me say this to you. Your publicity of yourself is not what will lift you. God is the lifter of men. And he lifts men from the place of service. The fact that you are given to service wherever you are is a proof that you are a man that fears God. The fact that you are given to service, when a man doesn't fear God, it reflects in his service. He does it without revelation. He does it without any knowledge. He does it as unto men. The proof that God is set in the heart of a man is that in the place of his service, he recognizes that this act is unto God. David was keeping his father's sheep. So much so that if a lion comes, not even a matter of if, he said when a lion came and attacked his sheep, he risked his own life and went after the lion. Until your life is on the line, you are not serving. Listen, when people commend me for the things I am doing and say, Pastor, you are working really hard, you are doing this, I try as much as possible to stop them. Why? When a man is working, for instance, with federal government of this country, do you hear what I'm saying? Who walks to his office to say, thank you for working for federal government? If everyone sees him and know that he's working for his salary, true or not true? Yes. Until our own revelation of service becomes deeper than that. That you need no accolade from men before you know you are doing the right thing. Now, you are not doing it for the pay or for the salary. You are doing it for a much weightier cause, which is what? Eternity. That the kingdom of God will be established where? On earth. When a man's service, the drive, the motivation for the service is based on what people say or do not say, it is a proof that the man does not recognize yet who is serving. Until you are given to much service, you cannot carry ministry out in grand style. Why? In the place of service, you are constrained to do things. Not because they are convenient, but because they are necessary. Service is a routine that necessitates you to do the right thing. Hallelujah. So in that book of Titus, the instructions here for ministers, and in this session I'm really going to pour my heart out to you. I really wish that the injunctions given here, I wish that most ministers will hear and listen. Let me say this clearly. There are people that have done ministry before you and they failed, despite the fact that they were anointed. There are people that have done ministries long before now and they failed in grand style, despite the fact that they were what? Anointed. So, the anointing is not the antidote against failure. Training is. The anointing is not the antidote against failure. Training is. Now, let's look at the injunction of Paul here to this set of young men and women who are trying to do the work of the Lord. Number one, Paul said, Titus chapter number 2, verse 1. However, you must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. A minister should teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. A minister should teach what is what? Appropriate to sound doctrine. Meaning that you are not permitted at any point in ministry to teach anything because it looks good. It must be appropriate to sound doctrine. Now, the word doctrine there basically means teaching. Okay? The word doctrine means what? Teaching. What is appropriate to sound teaching? That is, what is balanced. At some point, there was a very serious wave moving around of people who woke up one morning and suddenly started a school of thought that whatsoever it is that the fathers have been teaching since the days they've been in ministry, the fathers have been teaching heresy. Some went as far as saying that some major fathers mentioned their name should go back to Foundation Bible class, because they are the ones that know the truth now. So, along some points, a mentee of mine had my picture on his social media account, and someone said to him that, "Do you also follow this man?" So he said yes. So the young man told him that, "I don't like Pastor Femi Lazarus." So my mentee was disturbed and he reached out to me. So I said, "Amazing." So I said, "Okay, God bless the young man's heart." So the following day, the young man felt compelled to tell him the reason why he doesn't like me. So he said, "Pastor Femi Lazarus is part of those who are trying to balance the gospel. That the gospel needs no balance. The gospel is balanced in itself. In a real fact, the gospel in its first, in itself, on the pages of scripture, is balanced. But looking at the fact that it is going to come through vessels, the communication of the knowledge of the gospel will come through men. If the heart of those men is affected with wrong ideologies and strongholds that is bringing coloration to what they teach, we will have to balance what is proceeding from their mouth. Not because the word of God is not balanced, but because the minister is already affected. So when we bring balance to what men teach, it is their heart we are looking at. When their heart is affected, there is a need for the balance. So a minister must teach that which is consistent with balance. Not things that deviate and no longer look like Christ. Let me show you a scripture quickly. Paul also speaking to Timothy in the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 4. He said, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee." It means that the life of those that hear you is at stake. You must pay attention to what you teach. Do not make attempt to teach what you have not balanced in the word. The fact that you hear a minister say something is not a proof that is yours to say until you can establish them in the word. Amen. Our doctrines must be balanced. You know, sometimes I have seen that tendencies are high that men who are given to much prayers, much fasting, you get what I'm saying, and much activities like that, if they are not men who are given to the word, they will lead many astray. Because it is the word that forms the frame of operation for you in the spirit realm. The fact that you saw something in your vision is not a proof that is consistent with the word. So a man can claim to be in 16 hours of vision if what he has gone to see cannot be established in the word and found to be consistent with sound doctrine, we can debunk it. What is written is written. Anything else that does not conform to what is written, let God alone be true and every man be a liar. Is that clear? And that's why the Bible was telling us in the book of, what is it called now? 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. It says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." The word must be rightly divided. A minister of God needs to be given to the discipline of study of scriptures. Don't assume you know it. Read it. Is that clear? The minister must be given to the routine, the discipline, the doggedness of studying scriptures, that you may save both yourself and they that hear you. In the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter number 6, Peter speaking there, he said, "It is not reason for us to leave the word of God and to serve at tables." He said, "Wherefore we'll look out from amongst us men who have honest report, who fears the Lord, in whom the wisdom of God resides. He said in verse 4 that we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Alright? Meaning that as much as you pray, balance it with the word. Many people have heard things in court that the fact that they heard it, they ran with it, not knowing that they have heard cunningly devised fables. Alright? You judge what is consistent between what is not consistent through the word. Let me give you an instance. Someone stands up in the midst of a congregation to start giving words of prophecy and start saying, "Thus says the Lord, there is somebody here that will die before the end of December. So the Lord said to tell you, start putting your house in order because thou shalt surely die." Now, that is not consistent with the gift of prophecy. Someone said, but in the Old Testament, God sent messages to kings to tell them to put their house in order for they will surely die. God spoke to Micaiah, spoke to Elijah, and then pronounced the death of many people. Yes. The Old Testament prophecies from Mount Sinai talks about consequence of actions. The New Testament prophecies from Mount Zion talks about what has been done to take care of consequences. And that's why he that prophesies, prophesy to the church for edification, for comfort, and for strengthening. Now, when prophecy induces fear to the people, we can judge it rightly not to be correct. The moment someone begins to tell you that thus says the Lord, and what the fellow tells you brings fear to your heart and makes you feel like you are not a child of God, we can look at the injunctions of New Testament prophecy and in that light and say the Lord is not the one speaking. When you accept the word that is not what the Lord is saying, you are confirming the manifestation. Okay? Meaning that someone can meet you and say, "Oh boy, someone is going to die in your house." And then you accept it. What is the proof that you are free? Accept it. Fear. Fear is the permanent stamp we give to situations that are not pleasant. To say, "Welcome home." Now, when Job started facing afflictions, in the book of Job, chapter number 2, one of the major confessions Job gave, he said, "That which I fear mostly has finally come upon me." Fear generates negative energy with which the enemy creates what you are afraid of. Is that very clear? Fear generates negative energy with which the enemy creates that which you are afraid of. So, now there are many people, for instance, who are called to the office of a prophet. And you see, sometimes a prophet gets up and say, call the husband and the wife forward and say things like, "Both of you, listen, the wife, I want to ask you a question." And he's speaking by the gift of prophecy. And say, "Your first child, what is his name?" Say, "Ebuka." Alright, say, "Your first child, you give birth to this child for a man called so-so and so-and-so who resides in Lesotho." And then you hear different things. And after giving these family prophecies, at the end of the day, this family will never be together in peace. The gift with which he prophesied is pure, but the man giving the prophecy is not trained. The gift can be powerful, but yet wielded by a man who is not given to training. If that which you are saying from the Lord brings division, then the minister is not trained. Is that very clear? We must be careful to give ourselves to that which is consistent to sound doctrine. Don't build ministry on dreams. Don't build ministry on visions. Build ministry on the word. A wise man builds his house on the solid rock. Alright, in that book of, what is it called? Matthew 16 from verse 18. Jesus established the foundation of the church on the revelation of himself as the Lord. Every ministry must be founded on the revelation of scriptures. And this is why when people come to tell me that, "Pastor, it seems as though the Lord is calling me into the ministry," and I ask them for the anchor scripture that the Lord is giving to them. You can't claim that the Lord is calling you to ministry and the only thing you are wielding is a dream you had in 1993. Okay? You can't run with dreams, you run with the word. Is that clear? Dreams are good. All right, they are given to old men. All right, Joel 2 verse 28 to 30. Visions are powerful. They are given to young men. But the word is given to sons of God. So you need to hold the handle of the word. We must embrace that which is consistent to sound doctrine. The body of Christ should, people that are following innocently, should not be led astray. In the book of Titus 1 verse 9, he said, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. What will last in your ministry is what you build according to pattern. Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 9 to 10. He said, I, as a wise master builder, have laid well the foundation. Let every man be careful what he build thereupon. What is the foundation? Christ. No other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ. Meaning that you cannot come at any point and then tell us any other thing that deviates from the revelation of Christ as the Son of God. Every man who is a builder, building souls, doing ministry, must build according to that which is consistent with doctrine. And this does not exempt those who have been given to music ministry. Okay? Music ministry should be teaching in melody. Is that clear? Music ministry should be what? Teaching in melody. For instance, Esther, after God had given her a son Isaac, sang a song in 1 Samuel 2:2, that there is none holy like the Lord, there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Until today, we still sing that song. Why? It is consistent with the truth. So the fact that someone says, I sing, does not mean you flood your heart with all form of jargons and then come and sing known songs. If a man is truly spiritual, most songs do not really have to contain plenty lyrics. They just have to contain that which is consistent with the mind of God. And they remain evergreen. Is that clear? And one of the major challenges we are having is that those who are given to music ministry, quite a lot of revival is happening now, but some of them are not given to the study of scriptures. So they come and they feed the church with rubbish. There are many songs we sing that put to question the nature of a man, the new nature of a man in Christ. For instance, God doesn't answer your prayer through tears. He answers the prayer of sons by faith. So when you come to say that your tears is asking for God's mercy, you are trying to portray God as an emotional God. He's a God who lives by standards of revelation. Glory to Jesus. I said glory to Jesus. In the book of Hebrews 13 verse 9, he said, Hebrews 13 verse 9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. Let me read again. Be not carried about with divers of strange doctrines. Now, listen, there are strange doctrines and there are good doctrines. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 4 from verse 1, the Bible says that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from faith, giving it to seducive spirit and doctrine of devils. Giving it to seductive spirit and what? Doctrine of what? Devils. Forbidding themselves to marry and commanding themselves to abstain from meat, which God has given. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused. It should be received with thanksgiving. Alright? There are doctrine of devils. And one of the ways to identify them is that they come in cycles. They have once come before. laid waste of some people's ministry. There is nothing new under the sun. They will be recycled again, probably in the next 5, 6, 10 years, and they are coming back again. Majority of the doctrines this generation have dealt with and battled with, they were the same thing that were once dealt with some 8 years ago. You get what I'm saying now? They did not start with the people who are bringing it now. But there is a time that the wind will come again in the spirit realm to check how well sons are standing. So there are doctrine of devils. And unfortunately, many Christians are very gullible. Okay? As long as a man is opening the Bible, they are carried away. And then they believe anything he's saying. The fact that someone is mentioning the name of Jesus in his preaching is not a proof that what he's saying is consistent to the nature of Jesus. Until the word that he's saying can be confirmed and established in the true word of God. Is that clear? Let me say this to you. You must give yourself to sound doctrine that your profiting may appear to all. It is a dangerous thing to claim to be deep and yet not solid in the word. Your depth will be in error. Is that very clear? Alright, there is no other depth outside the jurisdiction of the word. The word is what forms our safety margin in our experiences. We do not teach experience, we teach the word. We don't exalt vision and dreams over what the word says. The word of God is the foundation of every ministry that will last. One who will be a thoroughly trained minister must be trained to be made sound in doctrine. Sound. The things you do not know, go to the word. Ask questions. Avail yourself to the word. If you fail to study or to show yourself approved unto God, you face shame. Okay? And that's what Paul was saying to Timothy. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed. No, don't get to a point that having taught people who are given to the word more than you, they start noticing your error and say, ah, that pastor, he can't even quote a verse of the scripture. He's so dull. Don't get to a point where those you have been sent to begin to correct you and tell you that you do not know what you are doing yet. It is a dangerous thing to wield influence without the word. Will spread error. Is that very clear? So, young men should give themselves to the rigor of discipline to study the word. In the book of 2 John 1 verse 9, the Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abided in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. The moment you begin to wander out of sound doctrine, the enemy takes charge. I've taught you before the parable of the sower, the seed that fall on the wayside. This be like them that heareth forth the word of God, then understandeth it not, then cometh the devil. When the doctrine is not sound, we can't bet men into understanding. We confuse them. There are men that when they want to teach you, the best thing you can understand is the topic. By the time they are done teaching, you are more confused than when you started. Sound ministry is not in saying too much big English and things just in the beat to be, you know, to be strange or sound. Many young ministers want to sound mysterious. So they gather things in quotes that will make them sound revy. And by the time they are done teaching, they have confused the church the more. Watch every man that God gives influence to teach in clarity and precision. Every man. When the esteem of a minister of God is not intact, it is the church that will pay the price for it. He will use the people of God as experimental lamp just to rub his own ego. And there are ministers of God doing that today. The people that God has placed under them are the ones they are using to, you know, massage their ego. Now, I want us to look at the scripture, Revelation 2. want us to look at something in Revelation 2. And let's meditate over this together before I move to the next. Revelation chapter number 2. I start the reading from verse 12 so you can understand. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things said he which had the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain amongst you where Satan dwelleth. Verse 14. Despite the fact that you are standing firm, look at what verse 14 said. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idol, and to commit fornication. Now, look up. Let me explain the doctrine of Balaam so you can understand. In the book of Numbers, chapter number 22, 23, 24, 25, we have a very powerful story there you should read. Balak wanted the Israelite out of his way. There was no way for him to do that. So he went to give contract to Balaam, the prophet of God in Israel. He said, help me curse these people. I want them out of my way. And seven times, with seven bullocks, seven rams, on seven different altars, they try to curse them. Blessings keep falling. At some point, and that's where you get the scripture in Numbers 23, verse 23, that surely there is no divination against Israel, neither is there any enchantment against Jacob. But something happened in Numbers 25. The people that could not be destroyed through divination, we suddenly heard that the sons of God started lusting after the sons, the daughters of those who want them out of the way. Such that they begin to serve their idols together and eat things sacrificed to idols. In one day, the anger of God struck them and 25,000 people died. So the Bible is saying that the doctrine of Balaam is the doctrine that casts stumbling block on the Israelites. What is that doctrine? It is a doctrine that tells the church anything goes. As long as you are a people of covenant, anything goes. Your covenant remains intact. This was the same leg of doctrine with which the devil was speaking to Jesus in Luke chapter number 4, Matthew chapter number 4, their synoptic gospels. And the devil said to Jesus, he said, if you be the Son of God, jump from this mountain. After all, God had said, he has given his angels charge over your feet to keep you from stumbling. He was quoting Psalms 91. But actually, what he was quoting wasn't too true. Because what the Bible said is, because you have set the Lord before your face, therefore has he given his angels charge over your feet to keep thee from falling. So the devil is saying, listen, jump. Let's take part of the word as your anchor, and you'll be fine. So the doctrine of Balaam is the doctrine that tells you to misbehave. The covenant is still intact. So the Bible is saying, despite the fact that you are standing strong, but you still have the doctrine of Balaam that is casting stumbling block on the road of my people. Now look at it. He said, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. The word committing fornication here could mean two things. It could mean lusting with women. It could also mean lusting with other gods. God described the interference of another deity with his children as fornication. Now, in verse 15, it says, so thou also ask them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. This is a very deep one. I promise I should be able to teach on this one of these days. Which I hate, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now, the word fight against them with the sword of my mouth is that I will raise men who will begin to speak the truth without fear. The sword in the mouth is the word. And the word will begin to burn forth out of my mouth, and then they will remove every liar from the altar. Amen. Every liar be removed from where? The altar. Now, give yourself to sound doctrine. We are still in Titus chapter number 2 from verse 1. He said, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Number 2, he said, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect. Let me say this to you. A man who is young in ministry may not understand the power of temperance. I want to show you something. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Galatians chapter number 2. Sorry, Galatians 5. I want us to examine something carefully. Galatians 5. I start the reading from verse 22 to 23. It said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Look up. When the Bible is listing these things as the fruit of the Spirit, there are tendencies for you to think that you know a pastor who is naturally gentle, and then you confuse that nature for this one that is the fruit of the Spirit. Irrespective of the degree of a man's gentleness, the gentleness mentioned here has to be cultivated. Ministry has a way of showing you that you can be short-circuited. Sometimes when the pressure becomes so high, the minister of God has tendency of exploding. True or not true? Yes. But the Bible is saying that the older ministers should learn what? Temperance. And this word is a very powerful word. Alright, they should learn to be temperate. He said, look at it again. Teach older men to be temperate, worthy of respect. Now, why do you need to be temperate? Because the older you get in ministry, the more you are exposed to betrayals, disappointments, and many things that has tendency of affecting the way you see people. And sometimes you have the tendency of reacting to all based on what one has done. So, when you learn to be moderate in all things, all right, don't be excessive, but temperate. Let me give you this instance. A minister of God, I do not want to mention name because of the delicateness of this meeting, was sharing his story of the time a man came to their church many years ago and lied to him that he's a pastor, that he's a missionary and is there to work. So the church accommodated him, gave him a house, gave him money, gave him everything he needed. After a while the senior minister was praying, the Lord revealed to him that the young man who came here claiming he's a missionary is a spy. He's not. And the man of God said, he called him the following morning and said, this is what the Lord said, you are a spy. And the man was dumbfounded, started looking, didn't know what to say. And the senior minister looked at him and said, I hand you over to God. Just pick your things and leave. So the man picked his things and left. On his way going, he had an accident and died. And this senior minister said, he's a father to us in the body of Christ. He said, from that day onward, he determined in his heart that there is nothing anybody can say that will make him say any negative word to them. Because the young man that died, he discovered that he was the only son of his mother, and the mother was a widow. So he said he wept, and then said he would never say any word to anybody. Anybody who misbehaves will just be left to go. The more you stay with God, the more the authority that is bestowed on you. And that's the more you must be temperate. You must know how to wield it. It carries so much power. It carries both creative and destructive tendencies. And this is not being said to scare young people, but you need plenty of temperance to last in the anointing. Elisha learned this the hard way. And he was just coming down from a mountain, and children started singing after him. Bald-headed man, go away. Bald-headed man, go away. Bald-headed man, go away. He got angry. Spoke forth, and bear from the wood came forth and tore all the children apart. The bear did not show up to eat them, came to kill them. Amen. And all of them died. Every minister of God must recognize that to everything any man does against you, it is the devil trying to get at you through them. When you are temperate, you'll be able to see clearly, and you will fight the real battles you ought to fight. But if you notice, most of the young ministers who came to repeat the mistakes that the fathers have made, the reason why that is possible is because deep in their heart, while the fathers were busy doing ministry, they were mocking the fathers, so they did not learn the lessons they should learn. Older ministers should be temperate. Another reason why you should be temperate is because you have much to say than people are willing to listen, and that can be burdensome. When you talk, you have depths of those things in your heart that the people know nothing about. And some of these people have tendency of boasting just in flash of seconds and say, I understand, I get it. The fact that people are jumping up while you are teaching and say, I got it, is not a proof that they can lay hands on it yet. What took God over 9 years for a man to learn, and is trying to release some part of it in a message, and the young man is jumping up after 19 minutes saying, I get it. What is he getting? So tendencies are high that you are going to be prone to offenses, but be temperate. To be temperate is not to be excessive. To be moderate in your indulgence. Alright? It is a word gotten from temperance. It means habitual moderation in regards to indulgence or of the natural appetite and passions. To be restrained. Patience. Calmness. Sedateness. You cannot do everything, so you need to be very patient. And sometimes the thought of the fact that you have spent plenty of your life outside the will of God, and now you are here to do it, you want to do everything in one day, relax. Do that which the Lord has sent you to do, and he will reward you in due season. Can I hear a big amen to that? Teach older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-control, sound in faith. Self-control. Self-control. I like to talk briefly on that in the aspect of training so that you learn. Many young ministers are killing themselves. It is not the devil that is killing them. They are the ones killing themselves. Why? When you know something is your weakness and you keep it around you, you are the tempter, not the devil. There is no anointing that prevents a man from fornication. Fasting and prayer does not prevent a man from fornication. You flee from fornication. You flee youthful lust. When you are privileged, no, that's not a good privilege. When you find yourself standing face to face with Potiphar's wife, you don't speak in tongues, you run away. When Delilah is putting your head on her laps, you don't enjoy the succor, you run. If you speak in tongues where you are being tempted, you are in serious partnership with the devil. And he pays his business partners in full, for the wages of sin is death. So, scandals are avoidable. You don't have to live life and do ministry hurting the call of God upon your life. Many people will say that after I've made these mistakes, the people will forget and they will move on. God will forgive me, sorry. Say, God will forgive. Our God is a merciful God. God forgives every sin. But his forgiveness does not stop consequences. If a man jumps from a mountain that is about 1,000 feet above sea level, and while he's jumping, while he's still in the air, he's crying to God. To fall down 1,000 feet above sea level, that's about 105 seconds divided by 3. That will take him about, about 15 seconds or so. Yeah, 1,000 feet above sea level. Average weight of 60, 65 kg. And while he's in the process of flight, he's shouting, Lord, have mercy on me. God will say, yes, you are forgiven right away. But it does not change the fact that he will land dead. Forgiveness is true, but it does not stop consequences. Ministers must be self-controlled against both legitimate passion and illegitimate passion. If you eat every day of ministry, you are eating up your ministry. If you sleep every week, you will wake up in weakness. You cannot afford. Now, both food and sleeping are legitimate. But a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest, so shall poverty come upon you like a bandit. So shall what? Poverty is resident in one place. And I will tell you, poverty is resident on the bed. When you are familiar with your bed, you'll be very poor, which includes both physical poverty and spiritual poverty. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, to social poverty, bankruptcy will come upon the man and beat the man like a bandit. You know, when have you seen where a thief is beating someone before? When thieves are beating someone, they beat the fellow like the fellow is not human. So when you sleep too much, you become very, very poor on time. So the best way to rubbish God's plan for you in ministry is to be someone who is given to sleep, given to legitimate passions. Sleep off your time to study God's word. It is a very shameful thing that when a minister of God carries the Bible, the moment he carries the Bible, he starts sleeping. Nobody sleeps where they are taking in life. I saw something today and I think I should show you. Say, poverty is manufactured in the bed. You cannot sleep like you are competing with the dead and expect to be rich in the land of the living. Let me read it again. Poverty is manufactured in the bed. You cannot sleep like you are competing with the dead and expect to be rich in the land of the living. So the way some people sleep is like they are in competition with their great grandfather that died. You get what I'm saying? They want to prove who have slept the most. If you sleep for 8 hours every day and you live for 75 years, you have slept 25 years. So, many people doing ministry are actually dead for 25 years of their entire ministerial endeavor. Dead. Sleeping. Inactive. Nothing. You must give yourself to the discipline of making night watch your lifestyle. Night watch. And this is why service is important. Because in the place of serving, you are compelled to do certain things. It is shameful that when you discipline Christians and tell them you are praying for 6 hours, they say, "Pastor is punishing us." When a minister starts seeing prayer as punishment, it is the beginning of decadence in the church. You get what I'm saying here? Self-control over legitimate passion and illegitimate passion. Young men must be taught to teach women with purity. Treat women with what? Purity. The moment you notice that each time you look at a woman, your eye magnets towards her skirt, start crying for deliverance. You need help. Okay? Don't wait till you meet yourself in the pit. And don't counsel a girl alone. If you are a young minister, whether young or old, invited for a meeting, don't stay in the hotel room with a woman alone. You get what I'm saying? And that's why in our ministry we have policy. I don't go out to minister alone. I have men who follow me. Women don't follow me to minister. You get what I'm saying? I don't tell a woman to do my hotel reservation when I'm going to minister. Men does it. You get what I'm saying? No. I can't be traveling to Abuja and I say a woman should follow me. And say, "May you book the hotel." Before you know it, they'll tell us there is just one room that is available. So, there's no point creating room for temptation. What you will not eat, don't smell. Self-control. It is only those who obey rules that are entitled to rule. It is those who are controlled that God can give control to their hands. Sit down. Allow yourself to be taught. Allow yourself to be disciplined. Samson had no disciple. He died without a disciple. You get what I'm saying? Dinah had no one over her life speaking for the truth. She went to see daughter of the land and she was raped. Unwanted pregnancy in the land of Israel. Esther had Mordecai. He sat her down and taught her the ways of the Lord. Virtue and lifting follows after humility in the place of learning. Self-control. Those who are trained last longer. It takes 7 years of training in the university for a man to be certified as a medical doctor. After going through 6 years in primary school, 6 years in secondary school. 6 plus 6 is 12. Plus 7. How many is that? 19. You get what I'm saying? 19 solid years to be a medical doctor. You are busy shouting around the street. How many years have you devoted to the training that makes you now a pastor? And doctors only deal with human lives. You get what I'm saying? And that's not even what it takes to become a consultant. You have to work more. And then we have professors. So, a young man just catch vision of 20 minutes or 1 hour. Jump out. He has never served under anybody. Obeys nobody. No spiritual father. No mentor. Or he has heaped out those who can't tell him the truth around him and say these are the people he follows. And then put them at arm's length. Strategically and stylishly, cunningly build a structure that empowers sin in his life. And then jumps out and says, "I'm a pastor." And then one who is dealing with people's eternal life is a joker, an amateur. And is playing around the place with the lives of people that God has committed into his hands. Without training as a minister, you stand no chance. You must be given to both theoretical training and practical training. Self-control. Self-control. That you can start studying God's word right now and sleep comes. The fact that you are feeling sleepy is not a proof that you should obey. Self-control. We tell the body what should happen to it. You hear what I'm saying now? You put your body under, lest having preached to others, I myself should not become a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me say this to you quickly. There are many things you will learn when you are being trained that you will not learn when you are studying the Bible. Practical shows you reality. You get what I'm saying? Practical shows you reality. Until the one you claim to be following can delegate you to go and represent him, you have not followed enough. Until such delegation comes, in the place of following, you catch the spirit of the one you are following. In the place of training, you catch it. Jesus called the disciples that they should be with him, then he might send them forth. Little wonder they saw them and called them Christians. Because in the place of staying with him, they have carried the spirit. He called them to be with him. How much time do you spend with those that God has led you to follow? How much time do you fellowship with their materials? There are many who have spiritual fathers that you don't listen to their messages. You don't listen to their tapes. You don't read their books. You get what I'm saying? Then it is arrogance. Let me say this to you. Anything that tells a man that you don't need knowledge, whatsoever form it takes, the real name for it is pride. Pride tells a man that he is more than what he is. Pride is delusional. It makes you feel you know. Meanwhile, you ought to be learning. Wake up from your slumber. O ye sluggard, consider the way of the wise. Turn from your evil ways and be made wise. Training. When we must produce men without training them, we produce people that will make the body of Christ face mockery. Is it not shameful that there are many ministers out there who are bringing shame to the body of Christ with their lifestyles? You get what I'm saying? With the lifestyles they live. I was watching a minister recently. He stepped on the podium to minister. And then these boys came with their trousers dragged to below their boxers. And then they were just throwing money in the air like it was some sort of party. And the pastor, or let me say the prophet in quote now, was dancing like it was, you know, very strangely. And different of those boys brought money in bundles and were just throwing up. At some point, the whole church was scattered because people came to be picking money. My father's house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it the den of thieves. When we don't train men, we release crooks to the body of Christ. Before you defend anything anybody is saying against pastors, be sure you know the pastors we are defending. Not all pastors are thieves, and not all pastors are not thieves. That should be very clear. Is that clear? There are people who are sleeping with church members 24/7, and yet they are still preaching. There are people who are stealing from the church 24/7, and yet they are still preaching. There are those that when they enter into a church, the next thing they want to do is to kill the fire of every man who seems in court to be competing with them, and yet they are still preaching. We have all kinds of men out there. It is amazing how God copes with us. Our Father has a very large heart. So, let's endeavor to submit ourselves to training. Don't just buy books for decoration, read them. If you don't have books, it means your house is a mortuary. Life proceeds from the place of study. Buy books. Many ministers don't read. So they come talking like herbalists, traditional gospel. I've seen a minister of God prescribing herbs, telling somebody to go and scrape the back of a tree and use it for malaria. What is the power of the Holy Ghost doing to bring healing? You get what I'm saying? If you are rusty in your developmental progress, you begin to preach traditionalism. You become a traditionalist, yet still carrying Bible. But when you talk, the way you even arrange the church, it looks like a shrine. Give yourself to training. Read books. Don't live your life depending on Orion for food. Buy books with your money. You are not a dustbin that people come to sow money into all the time. Give into books. Have study Bibles. Get them. collect messages, listen to them, attend conferences. A man who stays in his father's house and says he's the biggest, he will only say that for as long as he's still there. There are many people of your age doing greater things than what you are doing now that you know nothing of. If you compare yourself with those below, you become complacent. Step up and let the Lord lift you. And I hear a big amen to that. So many are not given to the discipline of books. Buy books. Listen to them. Alright, if you are at a phase of your life where you can't afford money to buy books, you get what I'm saying? Afford attention. Get them in PDF. Use them on your electronic devices. Either on your mobile phones or on your laptops. Get them at all costs. Keep breathing life. You get what I'm saying? Keep breathing lives. In doing this, you will be able to save both yourself and them that hear you. The proof that you love the body of Christ is that you prepare yourself to be useful. That's the proof. The proof that you love the body of Christ is that you prepare yourself to be useful. Don't come and say they will accept me the way you are. They will accept it the way you are in the meantime and then throw you away when somebody better comes. You are too young. At 25, you have not read 10 books. You are rusty. You are the old prophet. You are young. And many young people, their head is still empty. They are young, but they are not investing anything. You get what I'm saying? They'd rather watch football and then make boasting, listen to songs, and then they come out and been declaring words. You can tell they are not sound. Give yourself to books. Give yourself to training. Be accountable. You get what I'm saying? There's power in training. Joshua followed Moses. Little wonder the Lord said hand over to him. Samuel was busy serving in the house of Eli diligently. You get what I'm saying? Little wonder the Lord said, I have found one who is a prophet amongst you, whose words will not fall to the ground. In the place of service, God finds men for the next generation. In the place of service, God finds men for the next generation. Is that very clear? Jesus had 12 disciples. Timothy followed Paul. If you claim you follow Jesus and follow nobody, the day you are in trouble, you will need to be referred to somebody, and that day your pride will be broken. In ministry, people don't lead you by age. They lead you by grace. What they have done with the grace of God upon their life. That's the qualification for leading. I get what I'm saying now. As a minister of God, the hour you spend in the spirit daily must be 24 hours. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you lock yourself in the prayer room. You become useless. If you pray 24 hours in a day every day, you become very useless. While you are praying, some people are walking. But what the Bible is saying is that be in the spirit defaultly. Let that be your default arrangement. Stay there. You hear what I'm saying now? Make sure you live a life through discipline, through training. That even while you are not intending to pray, prayer leaps out of you. Prayer must become a lifestyle. And I hear a big amen to that. So in the place of service, in the place of training, you learn accountability. You learn how not to be excessive. You learn moderation. You learn self-control. You learn temperance. You learn gentleness. Because in every time there is stewardship, there is a need for accountability. The first and basic revelation a steward must have is that when it comes to the matter of ownership, I am only here as a caretaker. I own nothing. The ministry in your hands is not yours. God is committing it into your hands. And you will give account. You get what I'm saying now? If you do things when it's convenient for you, till Jesus comes, you get nothing done. But there must be structures built in your life that compels you to do them, whether you feel like or not. Structure. Without structure, nobody have any enviable future. You get what I'm saying now? Without proper structure, no one has any enviable future. So sit down. You have dwelt on this mountain long enough. It's time to move up and be trained. Be accountable. Don't teach any rubbish and say the church will accept it. We can judge what you are saying and found it not to be consistent with scriptures, and you'll be rebuked. Amen. Or we want men not to listen to you again. Give yourself to the rigor of training. I'd like you to bow down your hearts quickly and talk to God. Father, help me. I receive this word with meekness. Help me to be faithful in that which you have called me to do. Help me to follow well, to be given to training, not to play away with my life. Help me, Jesus. Go ahead and cry to God. I want to be trained. Right now, I will start praying about who I can submit under. I will give myself to training. My life will not end like that of Samson. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.